Our first Bible reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Our focus throughout December and Christmas has been that of a Christmas from the right side up, not from the northern hemisphere, but from a place where it's dry and hot and warm and windy and dusty, the Great Southland. Hence our decorations. So a Christmas psalm that comes from Bruce Pruett, an Australian minister, now passed away, was a minister here in Adelaide, has written a number of books. Rejoice, Australia, in your Saviour. Celebrate today the Christmas gift. From Launceston, Broome, Cairns and Morialta, let that story be told and carols uplift. In the hot, dusty inland, sing his glad music. On crowded beaches, remember his birth. Christ Jesus has come among us forever. His birthday offers new hope on earth. Let flame trees salute him, dry places blossom. As the plains turn red with the sturt desert pea, rejoice you bushland, forest and ranges, Banksias and wattles, make merry jubilee. Run like the wind, long-legged emu. To all remote places, carry the word. Chatter the story, bright lorikeets and parrots. Take to the skies with the news you have heard. Aboriginal people, make him a corroboree. Descendants of pioneers, sing him your praise. New Australians from Asia, Africa and Europe, offer the heritage of your own ancient ways. Arise and laugh and dance and sing, for Australians too have a glorious king.
We continue our Bible reading from Luke, starting from verse 8. The shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great host of company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen were just as they had been told. On this Christmas day, in this is the word of the Lord.
I invite you this morning to reflect with me on something that creeps into our lives. Very slowly at first, then it sort of gains momentum, then quite possibly flooding in the last few days. They enter into our homes and our houses, uninvited, yet welcomed, often small but packed with meaning. Various shapes and sizes, colour and design. The Christmas card. Reflect with me on the scenes on the front. It's just another Christmas card. You've seen hundreds like them before. Scenes of the birth of Jesus, Mary dressed in blue, Joseph leaning on his staff, shepherds dressed in rags, wise men on camels, stars, angels, villages, and so on. Maybe among the many Christmas cards we receive each year, we don't really see who these people are or the story that they bring. Many times we just glance at the images, and in all reality, they do make a lovely collage when they're all lined up on the mantelpiece or above the fire or on the table or wherever it might be. But if these cards could speak, if they could say something to us, what would be their story? What do we learn about them? Mary, she's often in the middle, very reflective expression on her face, not far from the baby Jesus. Sometimes she's holding him, sometimes not. But who is Mary? Mary is a young woman, a youth, teenager, a young teenager. She's a woman who gave up lots and lived in a town where a lot of people gossiped, whispering over the cup of tea, "Did you hear that she's pregnant? Naughty, naughty Mary. Not even married yet. Do you think it's Joseph's child? How could she? How could he? Does he even know? I never thought that about her." Mary. But Mary was a person of God. And God chose her for a special and unique way. It was terrifying for Mary. Absolutely terrifying. This is God's work. Mary was a young woman of tremendous faith and huge courage. She risked social ridicule and even disgrace. Yet she was touched by God, and she looks out from that card and asks, if you have the faith to let God touch your life. Not far from the center focus is Joseph. Good old Joseph, by Mary's side, ever faithful Joseph, stands up protecting Mary and Jesus. But who's he? What's he got to do with the story? Is he just that old fool being tricked? Can you hear the whisperers? Can you believe it? He's still going to marry Mary? I wonder what story that young Mary told him about the baby. Joseph is a man who allowed himself to be used by God. It would have been well within his rights to walk away from Mary, yet Joseph was a man who believed that God could do the impossible. Despite his doubt and fears, he allowed his imagination to grow into accepting the unimaginable. And Joseph, well, he looks out from that card on the mantelpiece, asking if you have the vision to imagine God involved in your life. Then there are the shepherds. They look on. Who are they? What's their story? Shepherds were first century nobodies. No one wanted to be a shepherd, especially the blokes on night shift. Yet God chose these blokes, these ordinary musterers, ordinary and simple hired sheep sitters. Say that carefully. Uneducated, not even greatly socially equipped people. Poor, smelly, dirty blokes to be the first to hear the good news of the birth of Jesus. They may have been ordinary, but they had hearts that welcomed the good news. The shepherds, well, they look out from the Christmas card asking if you can receive the idea that God is interested in your ordinary, everyday life. The Magi, wise ones. Traditionally, they come later at Christmas, but we thought we'd throw them in on Christmas Day because they all come on the cards. They bring their gifts. They ride their camels. They come from the east. Who are they and what's their story? Well, they're astrologers, scientists, educated people, presumably wealthy. They had nice clothes, possibly power influence, have a nice home and a couple of BMW camels in the shed. They may have even had staff under them, sort of upper executive types, if you know what I mean. Yet they had the humility to recognize someone greater than themselves, an empty ache in their hearts for something more than what they had. They had the wisdom to trust God, to guide them to something more. And these wise men, they look out from the Christmas card to us, asking if you have questions that you're seeking answers for, and that are you willing to take a journey of faith that they made. Well, angels, well, they're pretty popular these days, in vogue, trendy, fashionable, especially this time of the year. They're in. You can make a lot of money out of angels, different kinds of angels. You can put them wherever, hang them from the roof, put them under the bed, bring money when you lose your teeth. No, that's tooth fairies, isn't it? But people love these ideas of protecting angels and fairies and things, but not so these angels. No, these are messengers. They tell us that God is up to something, that God wants to be with us, if only we will let God speak. The angels slip from the spirit realm into our everyday world, disturbing us, making us uncomfortable. And the angels look out from that card, asking us if you too might just accept that invitation. And so, Jesus, strangely, he doesn't get individual status much in Christmas cards these days. Jesus, well, he's most often surrounded by his mum and Joseph sheep, the wise ones, shepherd or two, cows, angels, even little children. I don't remember reading that in the Bible, but anyway. But they're there, the little children, you know. Maybe it's round John Virgin, I'm not sure. That was a joke. But if you look closely enough on some of these Christmas cards, you might just see a scene to the left of center of this one. Just for a moment, you might see Santa. I mean, or is that Joseph? I'm not sure. Maybe it's a blend. But they're gathered around and they're peering into the manger. Jesus, the incarnation of God, Emmanuel, God with us, even as a baby, even as a man, draws people to himself. Important ones, uneducated, educated, wise, ordinary, unsophisticated, poor, lowly, everybody, anybody in between, come to this moment, to this morning, to this place, and gather all around. However, what is in the stable does not need pictures or images, does not need cardboard and ink, not even a central spot on the fridge or the shelf, but a place to be born, where hope, peace and love and grace and forgiveness and justice and truth can reside. And that is in here. That is in you. That is in your love and my love that we share today and every day. That is the love of Jesus. The angel's message of good news, of great joy, is that Christ the Lord has been born. And so the Christmas card rests in your hands. It sits on your shelf, strung up across the living room, or stuck on the fridge. You have two options available to you. You can put up with all the others, or you can toss it in the recycling bin to Planet Ark. Or you can look at it perhaps for the first time, with fresh eyes, new eyes, and the card becomes something that it should be, a message of something wonderful, a message of great news. If you take the second option, then the card ceases to be just a card, and instead it becomes a way for Christ to be born and to transform your life. But if you take the first option, it will remain just a Christmas card. It'll probably be forgotten. Could even be cut up for next year's Christmas card to be made. Or it could be just a reminder that when those Christmas cards keep rolling around again in November, December, next year, then Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men and the angels will look at you again. And I'll ask those same questions, but once more. Are you the angels this morning that will sing, "Hark, the herald angels sing"? If so, please stand.